Hi, and welcome to Daring to Leap. I'm your host, Lori Phillip. Is the pursuit of career success and a busy life leaving you without a moment to breathe, much less enjoy life's pleasures? Get ready to unlock the secret to a richer, more vibrant work life as Raina Bach shows us how to deliberately create more joy in our daily lives. Let's dive in. Raina brings over 30 years of experience, both as a leader and as a leadership development consultant, executive coach, and facilitator. Raina's mission is to raise the frequency of joy in her clients in both their professional and personal lives. Welcome to the show, Raina.
Thank you, Lori. It's so great to be here. I can't wait to have our conversation and provide some tips and help to your listeners.
Yeah, I am really excited about this too, Raina. I think, and just to let people know, we're going to focus today on joy and bringing more joy in our lives and in our careers. And it's such an important topic that we often miss in the broader conversation. But before we dive into that, I would love to hear from you, Raina. What were you doing as your career before you decided to become a career consultant?
Well, that's a great question. I'm one of those people, Lori, that need a flow chart to follow my career. I wanted to, right out of high school, I wanted to be a chef. And I got some guidance to say, well, you're so good in math and science, why don't you go be an engineer? And I thought, okay, I didn't even know what an engineer was. So I ended up going to school and I got a Bachelor of Arts in Engineering and I got a minor in Computer Science and minor in Business. And so I went right into working for Arthur Anderson Consulting as a computer programmer. And I remember it got to the point where every Sunday night I would start getting a stomach ache. And it was maybe a year into the job and knowing that I'd have to go to work the next day. And so I left that job and I leaped into the insurance industry. But since then, I went through a change in my personal life and I ended up moving from the New York area out to Colorado just on a whim. I quit my job and packed my car and I knew a couple of people out in Colorado. And it was a big leap for me to make that transition. And Lori, I remember when I pulled into Denver and this is going back a number of years. It was April 15th and it was hailing outside. And my girlfriend who I had moved in with was out of town for that day, the weekend. And I cried. I cried and I said, what did I do? I shifted my life. What did I do? I don't really know anyone and it's hailing. So I did a bunch of things over a period of time. Yeah. And I lost a friend in 9/11. So that changed things. So I ended up going abroad and traveling around Europe. I lived in Scotland for a little while. And then I came back and said, what's the one thing that that's on my bucket list that I really want to do? And that was to go to chef school. So I moved back to New York and I went to the French Culinary Institute in New York and started studying wine. And I had spent some time when I was working on Wall Street on the weekends, I would bartend at a really nice high-end place. And so that was kind of my first step into that world. And so I ended up going to chef school. I then moved to Washington, D.C. and worked for the government for a little while, working on as a consultant on human capital systems. Since then, I left there and said, I don't want to work with the systems anymore. I want to work with the people in those systems to really help the leaders. And so I've been doing people and leadership development for a long time. And so that probably 20 years ago was my first step into really focusing in working with leaders as a coach. And so really just kind of digging into helping leaders and male and female. But I really now, Lori, what I love to do is to help women leaders to create a life that works for them and show up as themselves in their environment. So I've been at this for a while, and I probably left out a few jobs along the way, but in that trajectories.
Wow, you weren't kidding about the roadmap. But I, what's interesting to me is you were not, at least based on your descriptions, afraid to try and shift and move to different things along the way, even to the point of going abroad, going back to chef school, and then coming back into industry, and then leaving and starting your own business. And so what do you think supported you to have the courage to go and try all these different things?
Well, and I did. There were times, Lori, when I took a step back where I was making X amount of money and I then took a job making this amount. So I think that I realized, like, life is too short. I was always in search of, Lori, myself and my own happiness relative to careers. One of the things when I moved from New York down to D.C. before I took a government job, I had a company called Life Path Group International. And really, because I have such a passion to help people find their swim lane in this lifetime. And I had to go through my own journey and kind of, it was like turning a dial on a safe and clicking and moving and clicking. And I think that I just decided that's just part of who I am. Mm-hmm. But fear will be there regardless. And there were moments when I said, I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage. And so it's understanding that there are different opportunities and staying positive. For me, something that someone told me years ago, and I did this, and we're going way back. And he said, Rena, have you ever read the book, The Secrets of Super Selling? And this was back in the late 90s. And I said, no, what's that? And he said, well, here, get the book. But basically the premise is you write down the life that you want in detail, and you describe it so that you could actually picture yourself there. And so that's actually what I did. And I sat down and said, what do I want to create in my life? And so all different areas, work, how much money I wanted to make, the lifestyle, having friends over for dinner parties, owning a house in a certain part of Denver. And don't you know, everything on that list came true within everything within 14 months. I mean, my income tripled and I hit the level I wanted to. Actually, probably went up four times. And I bought a beautiful house. I was having dinner parties, and I basically stepped into the life that I had written down. And so the secret of that, and it is kind of, I don't know, that there's a lot of manifesting tools and techniques, but this one really worked for me. I wrote it out, hand wrote it, and I read it every single day, even if I didn't buy into it, but I actually read it and I put myself there and I could visualize. I had a yard for my dog. I had this, that, and everything, and everything came true. So I think it's faith, having faith and believing that things can turn out. And so just having that faith and also listening to that inner guidance, because if I didn't, I'd probably still be at one of the jobs that I have had in an organization, but that gnawing inside was too much to not listen to. And so it's kind of a cost benefit in having faith that things are going to work out.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that's really powerful about the exercise that you did is getting really clear for yourself on what it is that you want. I think we have so much power when we actually know what success looks like for ourselves, and we decide and we write it down and we have a North Star to work towards. And you can't create that vision if you don't know what the vision is to start. And then also if you add in the different layers that you've already mentioned, the faith, the focusing on it, you read it every day, all of these things come in just to ties it even more into making it something that goes from on paper to reality.
Yeah.
I'd like to switch gears a bit, Raina. Let's talk about joy. And one of the reasons why we're having this conversation is that, and I mentioned this to you before when we were messaging, is that I was journaling, and this was at the beginning of the year, and I was journaling, and one of the things I was reflecting on for myself is that I wanted to have more joy in my life. And it's not like I'm unhappy. I'm a happy person, but I can get very serious and very hyper-focused on my goals and just getting everything I need to get done on a day-to-day. I've got kids. We've got dinner to put on the table. We've got things to do, busy schedules, this kind of thing. And one of the things that slips through the cracks first, in my opinion, is joy and allowing ourselves to actually focus in on it as a goal. Talk to me why joy is so important for you that you focus on it for yourself mm-hmm. and your clients.
Well, I'm sure all of us, you included, Lori, have had those times when, and you were just sharing, is those times when we didn't feel joyful. And as a matter of fact, we felt pretty low. And I think that in order to really feel joyful, you also need to have those low points too, right? It's the juxtaposition mm-hmm. of the two. And to really appreciate those joyful moments. So that's number one. I think number two, we were born in a place of joy, and that's who we really are. So for me, it's not about chasing joy. It's about allowing joy present to it. So to put it simply, I think it's about, for me in my experience, is it's in the present moment, because joy is all around us in any given time. And yes, we have to manage our lives, right? We have this, we have that, we've got lots of commitments and people in our lives who we're devoted to. But I think if we can find ways to be in the present moment more, that's where the joy is. I remember years ago, there was one of the facilitators of the Georgetown leadership program, the coaching program, Alex Caye. And I remember talking with Alex. He's French. And at that time, he was living in Paris. And we had a phone conversation at some point. And I said, Alex, what is it? Because when I first went to France, I fell in love, like regardless of politics, but I fell in love with the harmony that people seemingly had in their lives. And I said, what is it that I fell in love with the French culture? And he said, Raina, the French have a way of celebrating life's smaller moments. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's it. Life is a series of smaller moments. And those smaller moments take place right here. So they're not in the past. And so if we look past Eckhart Tolle, great book, The Power of Now. If we look in the past, we're going to find some things that, yes, some positive, fun memories. We also might find some things that in lessons, right? Learnings, hopefully they've turned into wisdom. But we also have maybe some regret, some guilt about choices, decisions, relationships, whatever those events or situations might be. And if we look to the future, we can always find lots of worry and anxiety. Mm-hmm. We also have anticipation of some positive things too, but we're setting expectations when we look, other than right here in the moment, we've got expectations, right? I have a to-do list, right? A task list. So I love checking things off. And I do calibrate every day and every week to say, okay, what's on the daily thing that I need to take care of? What's on the week? What's on the month? What's out there? We do that and we have to do that. But sometimes it takes us away from enjoying those smaller moments. I have kids also, and spending time with them. My son and I, just the other day, we got a lot of snow. I was sharing before we got on this call, is that we probably got a foot of snow in the Denver area this past weekend. And so once the sun came out the next day, my son and I, we got our boots on and coats on, and we took our dog, bigger dog, over to run in some ball fields. And it was just a simple pleasure. It was 20 minutes. We drove over there, let Ginger run around, and we drove back. 20 minutes. And so in those few moments, we had a lot of laughs. We had a lot of just so much fun and connection in the moment. And so sometimes it is, Lori, carving out those little islands, as I call them. And sometimes it is just taking a few deep breaths right now, slow deep breaths, breathing in, and then opening our eyes and saying, what's here to appreciate? What's here? Look at all of these things. For me, I'm looking at some orchids that just bloomed. I've been waiting for probably 6 months for them to bloom again. I've got a couple of smaller orchids. And the excitement, the anticipation as I watch them just growing and ready to flower. I have lots of things around me that just feel like I'm getting a hug, right? So to answer your question, I think it's being intentional about joy, number one. And it's really allowing joy because if we don't set the intention, it will escape us every day, every moment. And so can actually carve out some time. We can allow some windows of flexibility to step into joy. And we can also just close our eyes for a few minutes, maybe not in a work Zoom call, but maybe
if you're off camera.
Yeah, if you're off work, it's a lot, right? Okay, somebody's sleeping back there. But if we just allow ourselves to take those few deep breaths and open our eyes and say, wow, what's going on? My dog's about to bark and I do love spending time with him. So how does that resonate with you? How's that land with you?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this perspective while you were talking because I really like this idea of joy not being something that you fabricate, that you create, that you chase, that you're looking for, but joy being already there in your day-to-day experience, but you have to be present enough and allow yourself to notice it, to seize on it, to squeeze the life out of it when it happens and savor that moment. And that's a nuance that I think is really important. I mean, we can do things to intentionally create an atmosphere for more joyful moments, like with friends. You mentioned you like to have dinner parties, actually scheduling those dinner parties to occur. So part of it might also be understanding what brings you joy and ensuring that you're pulling those into your day-to-day experience. Hello, Daring to Leap community. I'm so excited to invite you to a free virtual event that I am hosting called the Ready to Shine Summit, how women can successfully navigate their careers with more ease, purpose, and confidence. I've invited a powerhouse lineup of expert speakers to share with you all of their insights, tips, and guidance. You can learn more and sign up at www.readytoshinesummit.com. Be sure to check it out. I can't wait to see you there. Bye. But I am completely aligned with you on the importance of the present moment, the now. I love the book, The Power of Now. And in really seizing on that, when you're talking about your story with your son, it made me think of my son because we had this moment. And now this is a bigger moment, but I saw it and I appreciated it because I could have easily not paid attention to it and got caught up in the busyness of the day. So I picked him up. This was like a year and a half ago. I picked him up from school. It was raining. And I noticed the most biggest, beautiful double rainbow that I'd ever seen in the sky. And I went and picked him up. And instead of just rushing over to pick up my daughter from there, I said, it was so close that I swear if we could find the bottom of the rainbow, we could find it. So we went on a search together to find this bottom of the rainbow because I could see it. And so we went through this area. We were probably not even supposed to be there. And we chased the rainbow, and I parked because it kept getting further and further. We actually couldn't reach it, but I parked and I took a video of it because my son's name is Miles. Miles said we should take a picture. Claire loves rainbows, my daughter Claire. So we should take a picture, a video of it for her. So we took a video of it. And it was this moment that we had together where it was just fun. And we were trying to find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But it was an average day. And I could have easily just picked him up, picked up Claire, went home, cooked dinner, and just said, hey, look at the rainbow. And I was reflecting on that moment for a while because of the bigness of it. It was so cool. But we have a lot of those little moments, too, that we could really seize that we just kind of let go past.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. What? And I bet your son will probably remember that. If not consciously, as he gets older, he's going to remember it in his body. I mean, that joyful experience of going to chase a rainbow with mom. How cool is that?
Yeah, I got some good videos too. So yeah, I have evidence. I have proof. But I want to get your opinion though, because when we talk about joy, it's very easy, I think, for us to fall into this trap of compartmentalizing it and thinking, okay, I would like to have more joy in my life, in my personal life, and not really connect it so much in our career. In your experience and working with your clients, how do we cultivate more joy in our career? It is possible, right, for us to do that?
Absolutely. I think it is, we are one person. We show up, right? And if somebody wants, number one, if somebody wants to start to bring more joy into their personal life, guess what? They're going to show up differently at work. And so they're either going to show up more joyfully at work, or there's going to be such an awareness that their work is such a misfit for them, or how unhappy they are. So it might actually highlight that distinction even more. So I think if people want to start with more joy and they want to start with their personal life, great. Work-wise, there are so many things that people can do to find more joy and be more joyful. So the self-awareness piece is huge. And again, that word permission, right? Even to look and acknowledge maybe that it's not exactly what you want. And so could it be the job itself? Could it be the work environment? And you've probably heard this expression, people join organizations, they leave supervisors, right?
Mm-hmm.
No matter how high up in an organization, if there's a rift going on and there's not a fit and people can't work well together, that's going to cause a problem. So I think it's being honest with yourself that of where you're at right now and acknowledging that. I'm a huge fan. We talked about this, of journaling. And so huge fan. So find some quiet time to really be with yourself, right? Turn off the tech. And find a nice quiet space, even if you can carve out 15 minutes or 30 minutes somewhere in your week, and really allow yourself to get present with you. And so that is a huge part in the beginning of the process. Now, there are some questions, reflection questions that might be kind of cool to ask is, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being high, how happy am I at work? Okay. If somebody's a 10, great. Somebody's a 2, okay. And so there's an exercise in strategizing and the 5 whys. And so asking, going down that rabbit hole of why. So you could say, well, okay, so I gave myself a 5. Why is that? And then journaling some more, answering that question. And then more information might come up. For example, why is it only a 5? Well, because I have a long commute to work, for example, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Why do I have a long commute? Well, because it's the job I chose. It's the organization I chose. Okay. Well, why is that? So is it, again, kind of getting at, is it an organizational fit? Is it a job fit? So where are the pain points? So the questions are meant to kind of dig into the pain points without judgment, right? And so that's a really big, big concept, is to drop the judgment, right? So we're, people are in a certain place at a certain time. They made a choice to be there. Okay. And acknowledging that it may not fit anymore. Another question, let's set that series of questions aside. Another one is, what did I like to do when I was a kid? Allow yourself to play with that question and sometimes even get giddy. And it might be one that you come back to, right? So start journaling and thinking about, what did I like to do? I remember working with one of my clients and we talked about that. And I said, what did you like to do as a kid? You said, oh gosh, I loved photography and I loved creating, and then even taking some of those photos and painting them. And I said, okay, well, when's the last time you did something like that? Ooh, I can't remember. It's been so long. So sometimes even bringing in, reintroducing a lost dream or a lost hobby or something that we gave up on, to sprinkle some of that back in our lives. Sometimes it might mean, well, you know what? And I'm toying with this right now, speak about another added piece of my career. I always loved design, interior design. And so I just refinished a farmhouse just for fun. And I thought, well, that was really fun. Total renovation. And it's beautiful now. And I thought, oh, I wonder if, is that something I want to pursue? I don't know. Well, all right. Well, maybe I'm going to just check into some classes and see. And also talk with some people who are doing that right now in their life. So without actually making a leap, doing some investigative work first, talking with people who do that for a living that you might want to do. What's it really like? Getting a realistic preview of that career or that company, whatever it might be. And then sitting with that and saying, what would be my next inspired step that I can take in that direction? So that is if you're investigating kind of switching careers or companies. Another one might be is looking at your job yourself. So instead of looking at what's wrong with your job or career, what's right? What's work? Our minds are trained to look at, to problem solve, to fix things. That's how most of us operate. And so we can get stuck in that so much so that it kind of pulls down on our vibration. So what's working in my world, at my work life? And so asking yourself that question too, and you might find some nuggets in the midst, and that might be actual surprises. You might find that I'm feeling overworked and I'm feeling guilty about taking time away from my family. Is this really the work I want to do, where I want to do it, how I want to do it, with whom I want to do it, and when I want to do it? So lots of different facets, if you will, looking at it like a diamond and saying, okay, well, looking at it from lots of different viewpoints and without judgment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, thank you for all those exercises. It's really helpful because I think a lot of the times we don't really know what's going on until we start to ask ourselves these questions. We just have a feeling that it's not great. I'm not actually that joyful at work. Am I really even supposed to be joyful at work? Because when we look at society and the messaging that's coming our way, and we're supposed to be focused on being successful and getting to that next role and getting a raise and getting a promotion. And also, if you have a family, being a great mom. And so when we start to focus on our attention on just accomplishing, we lose sight of enjoying the life that we've created. And I would challenge people to consider that we deserve both. And that if we don't focus on enjoyment, then it won't just magically happen on its own. If we are, all of our energy is focused on just to-do lists and the next thing. And so I appreciate you bringing in the thoughtfulness around journaling. One of the other things that I would recommend also for people to do is I like doing the exercise of when you think about your day-to-day work, if you do an inventory of what brings you energy, like the things you like to do, and then what drains your energy, the tasks that you don't care to do as much. And just because when you know what they are, you can consciously go, okay, is it possible for me to do more things that I love to do? And is it possible for me to maybe delegate, do less of the things I don't care to do, or shift out of this role if it's 80% things you don't like to do and there's another role that you could actually flip it on its head and do 80% of the things you do like to do? Because we will always be doing things that are not our favorite, but it doesn't need to be the majority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's such a great point, Lori, is doing an inventory of the tasks. What is it that you do on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, and jotting those down, getting really fully present. Now, oftentimes those look quite different from the job descriptions. So I will say that.
Right. When you go to take that next role, you might end up doing quite different work than what it said you were going to do.
Yeah. And the other thing too is, I mean, there are organizations who are cutting budgets, right? Trimming back. And so what you used to be what you did a year ago, maybe you're taking on the responsibilities of one or two other people, right? And so that's a conversation. That's a realization. I mean, that can drive somebody into the ground, honestly, really just taxing and suck all the energy and life out. So part of that is also setting some boundaries. And I realize everybody's situation is different and there are choices that people are going to make. And sometimes they're in a hard spot where, you can't really set some boundaries around that. But where and when you can, take some time off. Use your PTO, right? Mm-hmm. And making sure that you're doing things on a regular basis to take care of yourself and keep your energy up. Mm-hmm. And so at the same time, outside of work, what are the things that you love to do and the people with whom you like to spend time? So are you doing those things in your off hours outside of work to be able to raise that vibe? And you brought up something really great about the really, really great point you had is that the checklist, right? And checking things off on the task list and just keep going and going and going for the next job. And so we are, again, chasing joy, but joy is right in here. And so we're actually, if we continue to look outside of ourselves, we're setting ourselves up not for success, to be able to be more joyful. So if we can just own that the joy starts right here versus it's going to be that next job or that next car or house or whatever that might be in success, if we're chasing that, it's not going to be a path that will really bring authentic joy, because it's a thirst that will never be quenched.
I'm so glad you brought that up because it's so true. And I think we can all resonate with the idea of when we set out a big, ambitious goal and it's very exciting and you work towards it and you achieve it, and that excitement is so fleeting. And sometimes we get it and we don't even allow ourselves to enjoy the moment of it. And we are on to the next big thing that I'm going to accomplish. And I mentioned to you earlier on our chat that I try to jot down all the wins that I have each and every day, because there are so many things that are going right. And there are so many things that we're doing well. And when we start to notice them, we start to open ourselves up to more and appreciating it along the journey and not just at the end.
Well, and absolutely. It just reminds me of a tangent. I remember I had this dress. Now, I don't fit it anymore, but it was a really beautiful dress. And I got it when I was to prepare for a trip to go to France. And it was so special that I never wore it. I wore it maybe two or three times ever. And so there it is. There's joy in a closet that made me joyful to wear that dress. But I just ignored it and left it, and because I was saving it for another time. And so now I I could probably get my leg into the chest. Get it anymore. But when I look back, I thought, wow, I could have really enjoyed that dress a whole lot more. So those moments, right? And so those things that savoring those moments, right? If you have a win, big or small, allowing yourself to take it in and do some celebration. And for people who are leading other people, right? Managing teams and organizations, that is so important to celebrate with your organization, with your team, no matter big or small of the wins, but don't step over those, right? That's part of life.
Yes, that's so great. Well, we're going to start to wrap up, Raina. Do you have any last closing thoughts for listeners around the topic of joy and bringing more joy into their lives before we wrap up?
This is a quick one. And it's a big thing for me is that one way to access joy in the moment is through your senses. Super easy to do. You're drinking your coffee. Instead of chugging it, just hold that coffee and take a smell, right? Senses. And so what do you look at? What do you see around you? Colors and scenes. And so whatever your soft fabrics or whatever that might be. So even accessing joy in the moment, anywhere, anytime through the senses, it's super easy to do.
Thank you for that. That's a great, great point and idea. And I notice when I do, like, especially with my coffee, because I really enjoy my coffee, when I do pay attention to it and hold it, feel its warmth and smell it, it tastes better. It's like a moment instead of just something I do every day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Conscious of it for sure. Well, if you could share with our listeners where they can connect with you, learn more about you and your work.
Sure. I have a website. It's reinabach.com. reinabach.com. And my big social is the biggest is probably LinkedIn. So Raina Bach on LinkedIn, and love to connect with people. If anyone is interested in just exploring working with me, we can set up a quick call to see if I might be able to help, if coaching might be the right solution for someone. And if I'm the right person, if not, I have a cadre of 5 really seasoned coaches who work under my organization with lots of experience. So it's finding the right person too. So people can email me it's reina@reinabach.com.
Thank you so much, Raina. I really appreciate this conversation and just your wisdom, your experience and thoughtfulness around such an important topic. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's such an honor, Lori. Thank you so much for having me. And I want to wish you and all of your guests to have moments of joy. I call them moments in the midst. And so allow yourself to have those moments in the midst of joy.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed it, I would love for you to subscribe. If you're already a subscriber, don't forget to share the podcast with a friend. Make sure to tune in next week. We will be speaking with Shay Sparks about how we can find our voice. I hope you have an amazing week. It's your time to shine. Bye.